You probably know the Buddhist simile of the acrobats. One acrobat is standing on the top of a bamboo pole. His assistant is standing on his shoulders, and he tells her, "You look out after me, and I'll look out after you, and that way we'll come down safely after having performed our tricks." And she says, "No, that won't do. I look out after myself, you look out after yourself, and that way we'll come down safely." And then in that case, the Buddha said that the assistant was right. Then he goes on to say that as you practice, when you look out after yourself, you look out after others. You protect yourself, you protect others. That's the message we tend to take away from this sutta, because that's the message that's illustrated with a simile. But the Buddha then goes on to say that in protecting others, you protect yourself. This is a quality, a fact, that has to be emphasized. The Buddha never saw a clear line distinguishing your well-being from the well-being of others. Ideally, your well-being and their well-being should go together. And in looking out after them, you benefit. There are four qualities, he said, that you develop as you help protect others. There's endurance, goodwill, equanimity, and the Pali term for the last one is anukampa, which can be translated as sympathy or kindness. And looking out after the welfare of others, you develop these qualities. And in doing so, you protect yourself from a lot of bad karma, a lot of unskillful attitudes in your own mind. Endurance, of course, has to do with putting up with people's foibles, little things that you do that drive you crazy. And you have to remind yourself, they don't have to drive you crazy. They're not unbearable. What's unbearable is your thought, "This is unbearable." That weighs you down. But if you can focus on what's good in that person, you can focus on what's bearable in the situation, then you're not going to react out of anger. Now, the Buddha's not saying that you don't try to correct people when they do something wrong. He's simply saying you learn how to do it with endurance. In other words, come from a place of peace and solidity in your own mind, a place that is not fearful. Then you can deal skillfully with a situation. And the other person will sense that you're coming from a skillful place, too. If you come from ill will, a sense of being oppressed, the other person's going to pick that up. And that will block that other person from wanting to cooperate with you. So try to focus on the things that you can endure, and on your ability not to let yourself get in the line of fire of other people's words, other people's actions. So the situation is more and more endurable. And that way you benefit. The same with equanimity. The difference between endurance and equanimity is very subtle. Endurance has to do with the fact that you simply don't react in word and deed to things that you find hard to stand. Equanimity has to do more with being neutral, keeping the mind on an even keel in spite of the ups and downs in any situation. And here again, you're learning how not to weigh yourself down with emotional baggage. When you see there's some things you can't change, if you focus on the things you can't change and get frustrated about them, get upset about them, you waste your energy. There are things in the world you can change that you can make better, but you waste your strength. if you focus on the things you can't. So don't let your emotions get in the way when you deal with other people. And you find that it's a lot easier to deal skillfully. This, of course, has to be coupled with goodwill, that you wish for the other person's happiness. It's the most dangerous thing you can do in the world, or the biggest danger that faces you, is to do something unskillful. Because that then becomes your own karma. It becomes a habit in the mind. It bends the mind, as the Buddha said. And when your mind is bent in that direction again and again and again, your views are going to be warped, your attitudes, your further actions are going to be warped. They're going to incline under either being unfair to in a situation because you like somebody, or being unfair because you don't like them, or being unfair because you're confused, or because you're fearful. These are the four wrong courses. And we tend to fall for them from lack of endurance, lack of equanimity, lack of goodwill for all. So learn to spread these thoughts around for all. In that case, you protect them from your unskillful actions, and you protect yourself from your unskillful actions. The fourth quality, anukampa, we translate as kindness. But it goes together with empathy, sympathy, having a sense of how other people feel, putting yourself in their place. Or as the Thais say, they have a nice phrase, take that other person's heart and put it in your heart and see how it feels. Take their feelings into account. In these days of intersectionalism, where we're told that people of different genders and different races and different combinations of genders and races can't understand one another, it's good to try to develop this quality of empathy, sympathy, kindness, putting the other person's heart in yours and seeing how it feels. So many people nowadays are wound up in their own emotional wounds. This has been the effect of psychotherapy. Get people talking and they talk about their wounds from the past. And that becomes the big fact in their lives. And everybody else has to then take that into consideration, put up with it. The fact that this person is going around wounded and is fixated on his or her wounds. This is one of the reasons why we don't understand one another, why we lack empathy for one another. Everybody's wounded in one way or another. But everyone has strengths. Everyone has their good qualities, their bad qualities. If we want to learn how to live together, we have to learn how to take the other person's heart and put it in ours and see how it feels. This is one of the principles that underlies the precepts. We're talking a while back about the precept against killing, and someone said, well, I guess the Buddha said that's because life is sacred. And I said, no, no, the Buddha never said life is sacred. That idea came from wanting to understand the precepts without having to think about karma. But karma underlies everything the Buddha taught. Virtue, concentration, discernment, these things are all karma. The path is a kind of karma. And you have to understand it that way. And as the Buddha said, do you want to be killed? Do you want to have people steal your things? Do you want to have people have illicit sex with people who are dear to you? Do you want to be lied to? Do you want to live in a society where there people are drunk? Well, no. Well, then don't do those things. Do you like to be spoken to in a harsh and malicious way? No. Well, don't do those things. In this way, you protect yourself, you protect others. So as we live together, and we're always living together one way or another, make sure that you take the other person's heart and put it in yours and see how it feels. That way your heart will grow. And having empathy for that other person, you're benefiting yourself. Years back, a Buddhist magazine was doing a series on the Bodhisattva vow. They asked me to contribute. And so I wrote a little piece on the Sutta of the Acrobat, saying how ideally looking after your well-being, looking after the well-being of others should not be in conflict. They didn't like the passage. They didn't run it. Theirs was the idea that you had to sacrifice your well-being for the well-being of others. And that was noble. But the Buddha knew something nobler than that. That it is possible to look after your well-being and the well-being of others at the same time. And that's the vision we should keep in mind.